I will try to bring a message that God being my helper, that is called the lost man and our desire for him. That includes women and children as well. But you and I that are born again, we have a desire in our heart for lost people. And we know, all of us know here, that there are some present that are lost and need to know the Savior. And there are some of them that know that as well. That they understand that there is something lacking in their lives. They know that the gospel has been preached to them and they are responsible. But there are some teachings in Scripture which sometimes seem to be in conflict with themselves. Now, I know there's no contradictions in God's Word. But there's a dilemma which we as Christians must get straight in our minds and in our teachings. What can we do when our family and our friends and the lost people we associate with do not respond positively to the preaching of the gospel? They don't want to hear God's word. And especially, they don't want to be bothered anymore with the gospel being preached to them. And we know that's a fact. I've been told, just shut up. I don't want to hear no more. I just don't want to hear the message anymore. But we know our responsibility. We know what God has told us to do, and we do it, and a lot of times we don't see any evidence. I mean, we preached for a whole year in Rio Esteban, our first term in Honduras, before we baptized the first person. And that, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to a mission field, boy, I'm going to see a lot of fruit. But, you know, it's just like it is in the United States. Only God can save. We can tell people about what we want for them, what we desire for them, and what they ought to do. But we can't force it. If we force this issue, we get into the office of the Holy Spirit where we should not be. Now, all of us know that we can, with the Scriptures and with our abilities in the, with the Word of God, show a person that they're lost. We might even convince them that they need to make a profession of faith and that they can actually say, well, yeah, it's true, I don't want to go to hell, and so I'll believe in Jesus. And they'll go ahead and make that profession of faith. But a lot of times, under that kind of pressure, we see people who enter the church by baptism and never grow. Never grow. And then we start thinking, well, what did I do wrong? Was it my fault? And I'll tell you, sometimes I'm going to have to say, yes, it's our fault. That we've gone too far. We've made a step where we shouldn't have made because it was the Lord's work. He was to go forth after we gave the message. Have you ever thought that the Bible says that lost man is dead spiritually and cannot come to Christ? The Bible says that. Like I said the other day regarding the lost man, he's dead spiritually. He can't do this by himself, with the preacher, with just the Word. The Holy Spirit has got to go with those two to bring forth fruit, bring forth life. Are we surprised then when we try to talk to people and they have absolutely no interest whatsoever in what we're saying? I'll tell you what. Living in Honduras for many years we did, I only had one person that I can remember at this moment tear a track up in front of my face and say, I don't want it. Most people were generous and they would invite you in, maybe. Maybe the last few years in the city, no, but before, yes, it was a whole lot more open. But they are yes people. They want to please you. And they will do anything to please you. And so consequently, in that avenue, you get a lot of false professions as well. I look at the ministry in Honduras, and many of those people who came into the Lord's church, made professions of faith, were baptized, and lived in the church, are no longer in the Lord's church. And I say, was my time wasted? No. Not at all. Not at all. Did I coerce, how do you say that word? Coerce these people into believing? I didn't. I don't believe in that. But there's the gringo effect. They want to please. The Bible teaches us that it is normal that the lost will not at first be excited about the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. At first, he will think what we are saying is foolishness. The Bible says that. The Great Commission tells us to preach to all people. And so we attempt to go forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach these truths. Matthew 19, I would like to read for our text this evening. Matthew 19, verse 25 and 26. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, chapter 28, in the Great Commission, as we all commonly call it, we look at verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power, authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Mark 16, 14 to 20 says the same thing. I'm not going to turn there. And we can look at Acts 17. Look with me in Acts 17:22. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions and found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you, God that made the world that and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needeth anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath in all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. In other words, He has control over man. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain of our own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And that in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In other words, lost man has a responsibility. Some people don't like to hear that, but they do. Verse 31 to 34 says this, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, notice, some mocked or made fun. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit, notice, certain men clave unto him and believed. In other words, praise the Lord, this is what we hope for. That the preaching of God's Word will be effectual in the lives of some. It never will in the lives of all. Even when Jesus preached, it wasn't that way. Some believed. Howbeit certain men clave unto Him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has commanded all men everywhere to repent of their sins. That's you and that's me. And we'd love to see this happen to everyone we witness to. But it does not always bring the desired results. We, in our humble way, try to tell the lost of their need, but we know that our efforts are limited. Because if God does not take those words home to their hearts and convict them of their sin, it's like water running off a duck's back, humanly speaking. Paul said it well in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Read with me, please. Verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that's what we want in our ministry. That it's not us who preach the Word, but it's the Holy Spirit that takes that Word home and makes it effectual in the life of that sinner. Verse 5 says that your faith should not stand or be supported in the wisdom of men. You understand that now? Children, listen to me. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But in the power of God. If anything positive comes out of our witnessing of God's holy word, it has to stand in the power of God. If you learn something out of God's word, it is because God has revealed it to you. From the very beginning of our understanding to the very last day we live upon earth, it is God that reveals to us. And so then, in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 to 31 says this, but God hath chosen, notice now, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now I remember years and years ago, and I don't know how many years it was, some 42 years ago, something like that. I don't have the date in my mind. When I was driving us truck, big truck. Now, it wasn't a semi, but it was a huge truck. Delivering meat on the shore of the Puget Sound. And I started, well, I had been under conviction for a long time regarding the call to preach. And I had thought of it quite a bit, but it never came to this point yet. And the Lord started working in my heart as I drove that truck. And I cried out, Lord, what do you want me to do? And a small, sweet voice wasn't audible, it wasn't bells tingling, it wasn't the volcano going off, it wasn't anything like that. But it came so clear to me, I want you to preach my word. Where did this come from? I said, Lord, you know who I am. You know what I am. I can get up behind the pulpit and I can say, turn to 132, let's sing this song. And that was it. I trembled to say a word in front of anybody. That's a fact. Ask Sylvia. And I said, Lord, you know I can't do that. And I continued to pray, and it came back. Preach my word. I said, Lord, I can't. I can't do that. Preach my word. And all day long, that same thing. Tears flowing. I get home and I said, Sylvia, something happened to me today. And of course, she thought it was another injury or something. They called me AP, accident prone at work. And she said, what happened now? I says, I think the Lord called me to preach, but don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And so I went on for 2 weeks. And she knew the fear that I had. And I still tremble every time I get before people to speak. And this verse tells me who I am. And God called me to preach. And I was told one time that if I didn't do such and so, that I would never preach again. I'd go back to driving truck. And I said, you know something? You didn't call me to preach. The Lord did. The Lord did. And so, you that are lost here today, you don't have to fear Ted Tweet coming down and twisting your arms that you would make a profession of faith, because I'm not going to do that. Why? Because it's not my job to do that. My job is to present the gospel as it's read in God's Word, and God will use it in His time, at His moment. Paul said it close, very clearly, that he chose the foolish things of the world, and that was me. To confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and things which are despised. God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that no flesh should glory in His presence. If a soul is saved from the ministry of any man, it is because of God. God working. God says that He uses the base things of this world to confound the wise. Now, we do have a desire for the lost man, woman, boy, and girl. But there are some things that we know about man that we must always consider when we're witnessing. First of all, we must realize and understand that every man, boy, and girl, woman is lost. They are depraved. They're totally depraved. And this means that even though a man does not always act as wickedly as possible, his depravity includes his entire being, and that he is inherently unable to respond to the gospel in faith and repentance by himself alone. You can't do it by yourself. Romans 1:21-23 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I think of the Mayan Indians and the way that they acted down in the country of Honduras and Guatemala and in Mexico and Belize and all that area down through there. I don't know how far south they went. But they were a wicked bunch. They knew not God as we know God. They served their own gods. They made images that they bowed down to. They actually had human sacrifices that they offered to their gods. The man, the mind of man is depraved, the Bible says. It doesn't matter how intelligent man is. You can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. Or you could be the most lowly work there is in the world. And they're the same way. They're depraved. They cannot understand and accept spiritual things because their minds and conscience are defiled. And Titus 1:15-16 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's not Ted Tweet's words. That's the Scripture. That's God's Word. Romans 3:11 clearly tells us that there is none that understandeth. In Ephesians 4:17-18 says, in short, that their understanding is darkened, because they are blind and cannot see. That's what lost man is. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, clearly tells us, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, unless the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Oh, that's what we desire. Lost boy and girl here, man or woman here, what we desire for you is that the glorious light of the gospel will shine unto you, that you would be able to see that light. Oh, we'd rejoice with you. The angels in heaven would rejoice. Can you, will you, repent of your sins and trust in Christ? The message of the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says that. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Yes, we want to see people saved, but lost man in his condition, his depraved condition, cannot by himself change his situation. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God because to them they are foolish. Things of God are foolish to them. He cannot understand them. We read the scripture already this week, but in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They cannot. They don't have the ability. Because they're lost. They're dead in trespasses and sins. The lost man by himself has no ability to understand these things. If he cannot understand it, how then can he respond to the gospel in a positive way? You see what I'm saying here? There's a problem that we have, but it's not our problem. It's an apparent problem that has a solution. And the solution is in God, in God alone. He's the only one that can work this out. Man's inherent disinterest to spiritual things controls him. He's under the control of his father, the devil. His problem is not his intellect. It's not his educational level. It's his spiritual ability, which is non-existent. He has no spirituality. He is unable to spiritually respond to the invitation to repent without the power of God intervening because he is once again spiritually dead. The word is more morbid in English, in Spanish. Muerto. That's a fact. It's an ugly word to me, muerto. And when I think of that word, I think of funerals in Honduras. Because they don't paint them all up like they do here and make them smell good. But that's the condition of lost man today. There's no life. There is no life which wants to believe in Christ. He's dead. There's no spiritual life to want to repent because he feels fine just the way he is. He loves the way things are. He thinks he's doing just fine and there's no need to change because I'm all right. That's what he thinks. That's what he believes. Ephesians 2, and we've read this scripture as well this week. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 5. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 5. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Another reason why lost man does not respond to our call is because his heart is depraved. It's depraved. At the core of man's inability to respond to the gospel is the depravity in his own heart, which is full of evil, God says. That's what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 9:3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. Notice? The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. Genesis 6:5 clearly said it as well. Also, it gives way to man's heart before how it was before the flood. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that is the condition of lost man. And now we buzz down to 6,000 years afterwards, and it's just as bad. Just as bad. Time and education through the ages has not improved the condition of man or woman's heart. It still is continually and exclusively evil. Although lost man will not admit it many times, the desire of his heart is to please Yah. Me. I want to please me. Forget the rest of the world. I want my way. He sets himself up and breaks the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. You are your own God if you think you don't need God. You say, I don't need Him. I'm fine the way I am. Consequently, you have committed sin against the first commandment of God. In doing this, he doesn't please the Lord, and so he's pleasing who? His father, the devil. He is by nature a hater of God and a lover of wickedness. Turn to John 8, 44 and 45. Here it is. I want you all to turn there. John 8, 44. In 45, Jesus Christ tells us, ye are of your father the devil. What? That's what Jesus said. Ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. 45 says, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Jesus said that to these people. And you know what? We have to preach to that kind of people. You might say, well, they ain't quite that bad. Oh, yes, they are. You just don't know it, and they don't know it, maybe. But God thinks they are. Because you know what God's going to do with those people? If they don't repent of their sins and trust in Christ. Every one of you here know what's going to happen to those people. They're going to be punished. They're going to be judged. We don't want you to be judged. We want you to be saved. John 3, 19 and 20. John 3, 19 and 20 says this. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's what Jesus said. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. It says that lost man is really hostile toward God. You might not say it in your vocalize it outwardly, but your heart says, I don't want Jesus in my heart. I don't want this life. I want to experience the world before I do that, or whatever you're thinking. That's hostility against the Holy God. As mild as you might think it is, you are in fact saying, I don't want Him. And you know what happened to some? In Matthew 7:21, these people, they were even religious. And they said, Lord, Lord. And God said to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. In Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. That's you and I that have been saved, see? We were just like you sinners. Lost sinners. But God reconciled us. Made peace. What wonderful peace. And then John 5 and verse 40 says, Jesus says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And so then, You in your mind is saying, I don't want God in my life. I want what I want. I want to do it my way. I can drive my life the way I want to. I don't want someone telling me what I can and cannot do. But the fact of the matter is, that happens all the time to all of us. You are being controlled by somebody. Whether it's your boss, whether it's Satan, whether it's your husband or your wife, you are being told what to do. You're not alone in this world. You do have superiors over you. But wouldn't you rather have the King of Kings over you? Wouldn't you rather have Him? Next we see that this lost man that we want to win to Christ, that we want to tell about Jesus, that we want to be saved, that his very will, his desires are also depraved. They're depraved. Man's inability to respond to the gospel, it's mostly seen in the depravity of his own wicked will. This is the faculty by which man chooses or makes decisions in this life. The Scriptures simply say that man's will is enslaved to sin. Enslaved to sin. Look with me in Romans and you can see that for yourself. In Romans chapter 6, once again. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Verse 20 says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin. Do you want to be free from sin? Or do you want to be enslaved to sin? Huh? What do you want this evening? Who do you want to serve? Satan, or do you want to serve God? Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Being with the Lord eternally. You know, what's the best answer for this? What do you want? What is the most reasonable thing to do? But see, it's not reasonable for a lost person. Why? Because he cannot reason rationally. He doesn't understand about God. He doesn't understand these things because he's depraved. His mind, his heart, his will. In John 8:34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. The lost man does not submit to God's law because he does not know God nor recognize Him as God. A lost person cannot please God, for the Scriptures tell us in Romans 8, 7 and 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for he is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they are that are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh my, what a dilemma. We're told to witness to them, but we can't do nothing for them. Bad English, but truth. There's nothing that we can do but tell them the truth. I'm not going to intermingle myself in the persuasion of a young child or a teenager or an adult and tell them that they're saved if they just follow a little prayer that I say with them. It causes more confusion in the world. Churches are full of people that have never repented of their sins. They don't have any idea what it means to repent and believe the gospel. The lost person is not able in God's sight to do anything that is truly good. And where does it say that? In Romans 3:12. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. How can this person, this lost, respond then to the gospel message? Now we've put him where he is. We've tried to explain this evening the condition that lost people are in. But now how can that man or that woman, that boy or girl, come to a place where he can respond? Let's see. The depravity that man possesses flows from his evil heart and will. His heart is only full of evil, but he is also enslaved to his various lusts and pleasures. Look in Mark 7 with me. Mark 7. Verses 21 to 23. Mark 7, 21 to 23. Jesus saying, for from within. Where? In your heart. From within. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You might say, well, I'm not so bad because I've only committed two of those or three of those. You're still a sinner. You're still a sinner. If you've committed one of them, you're still a sinner and guilty of them all. Well, that ain't fair. Yes, it is. God is God, and He said that's the way it is. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. His mind, his heart, his will is enslaved. How can this man choose to believe in Christ Jesus? Now we can all see the great dilemma that we face as Christians as we witness to the lost sinner. It is, to me, I can understand it because God has revealed these things to me. But to some, they haven't understood these things yet. But we must understand them. That salvation is out of our hands. That we just have the instrument. We have the materials to present, but we don't have the ability to create a new heart in a person. We can't do that part. The lost person, on his own, by himself, now listen to what I'm saying. On your own and by yourself, you can't respond to Brother Reynolds, Brother Burke, or myself, or any other preacher, teacher, to believe. Say, okay, I'm going to do this. I had one lady in Honduras tell me this. She says, you know, I like your church. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I have to go another part of Honduras. And if this, and this turn out right, I'm going to come back and I'm going to accept Christ in your church. Ah. She did. And she's been a pain in the neck since. You know why? I feel she really needs a good dose of salvation. And you know, I think the Lord puts one of them in every church for a pastor to deal with and to grow in patience. If you don't have one, you're blessed. You're blessed. But let's go on here. The leopard can't change his spots. I have in my house two skins that I brought from Honduras. And they're from a tigrillo, a tiny tiger, a small tiger. They're about that wide and about that long, plus a tail. If that tiger wanted to be a white Bengal, he could never do that. He can't change his spots. He can't do that. And so then, I preached to a whole lot of black people. And they didn't have the money, as Michael Jackson did, to change their skin, and so they had to remain black. Because you can't change what's nature. That's just the way it is. You're a sinner by nature. You're born in this world that way. You are a sinner by nature. The lust of your fathers ye will do. But you say, well, Brother Tweet, what can I do then to change this? Repent of your sins and trust in Christ Jesus as your Savior. But you just told me I can't do it. Oh, yes. God says that you can. He commands you to repent. Oh, I don't understand it. Neither do I. Neither did I. But as the Bible tells, that's just the way it is. The leper can't change his spots. The man cannot change the color of his skin. Neither can a man by himself change his sin depravity. That's just the way it is. Jeremiah 13:23, we all know this scripture. I'll read it in my notes here. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. No! You can't. God has to change you. We have seen that he cannot understand or accept the gospel because to him the gospel is foolishness. How can he respond to the message and believe in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior? Every intent of his heart is only an evil continually. And he seeks not after God. How can this person then turn to Christ for salvation, embrace him as his own, as his righteousness? Why? He can't by himself. Why? He's enslaved to sin. How can he turn from his wickedness to Christ and bow before him as Lord and Savior of his life? Remember, that lost man does not fear God because the Bible just told us there is no fear of God before his eyes. How can he humble himself before God and trust him for salvation? The Bible says that he hates God. He loves his sins. He's unwilling and undesirous of coming to Christ. How then can he repent and do so? He's spiritually blind. How can he see things spiritually? He can't. He's dead. How then can he make himself to live unto Christ? We who are saved know the answer. We know the answer. What is the answer? God can make him free from his lost condition and grant unto him repentance and faith. Psalms 110:3 says, Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. Is that day for you now? Has God made you willing to think of your condition, the danger that you're in, that if you died, you'd go to hell? Philippians 2:13 says, For it is God which worketh in you both to will, and to do of His good pleasure. Who is it? Who is it? It's God that worketh in you. Why does God work in a person? Because you've heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Brother Reynolds have preached to you how many, literally hundreds of messages over the years. And God comes down. And God moves your heart. God makes those tears to flow in your eyes. God makes you to think of the fear it is to fall in the hands of an angry God. God makes you fear about hell. God makes you fear that you don't want to live this way any longer in sin. That you don't want to serve Satan any longer. It's God that does this to you. We can say with Peter and with others, as it says in Matthew 19:25, who then can be saved? Verse 26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. You might think you're the most wicked in the world, but with God it's possible to be forgiven. Do you want forgiveness? Do you want freedom from this enslavement? Do you want to be made free in Christ? Do you want to live for Him the rest of your days? Then repent and trust in Jesus Christ. The only way any of us are saved today is because of the wonderful transformation that God worked in our souls. And last of all, God's children are given a commission to communicate a message to which this world has no ability to respond. But we know. It doesn't matter if we knock on 100,000 doors or hang bags of literature on 10,000 doors, His Word will not return unto Him void. It will not. So shall my Word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't use Calvinism to be your crutch to not witness. That's wrong. We're told to go. That's what He's told us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And we can talk to people. We can tell them and show them the way. And we can. But just remember, you don't close the deal. You don't close the deal. Jack Hiles said one time in a conference of men, a lot of pastors, I think it was like 1,200 pastors, someone asked him after he was finished preaching and teaching, question time, and the question was, Brother Hiles, when do you present repentance to those you're witnessing to? And he says, oh, that's a doctrinal issue. We don't even touch that until after we get them baptized. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Like I said last night, if there's no repentance, there's no salvation. There's no salvation. There is a balm in Gilead, and He will save all who will come to Him in faith. All for whom He shed His blood. Come to Jesus today in repentance of your sinful condition, trusting completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He saves all who will come. And they will give Him all the glory. And He is due all glory for that. Repent and believe the gospel. Oh, sometimes we get weary as His children when we don't see and are not baptizing people frequently in our churches. But we must always remember that it is God who has got to give life. And there cannot be repentance and faith until there is life. Believe. Repent and believe the gospel, Brother Holmes.